In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is the epistle reading from Romans chapter 15, which I've read. Please be seated. Today our Lord reminds us again of the fearful day of His coming. He warns us that there will be many things that clue us in to the fact that the end is near. He says that there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. As I told one of our shut-ins this last week, it is a terrifying thing to look at the way that the world is going and to think about the future of our children and our grandchildren as they prepare to take their place in this life. The world is a dangerous and a fearful one, and these last days of our Lord before our Lord's return are an indication of the things that are to come. Our Lord warned us time and time again over the course of the Gospels that these days would indeed come. In addition to the suffering that He mentioned in our Gospel reading, He speaks in other places of how even we Christians may suffer at the hands of unbelievers. This week, the news was full of the stories of that Colorado bakery owner, the guy Jack Phillips, who owns the cake shop, who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple for their wedding, and how the Colorado Commission on Civil Rights tried to shut him down, imposed heavy fines upon him, and now his court has been heard before the Supreme Court. Right behind him is the florist in Washington State, Baronelle Stutzman, who was charged by that state Supreme Court for similar things. We Christians, over and over again these last years, have been told that we are on the wrong side of history. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has even warned that there is a conflict between religious liberty and sexual liberty on the other hand, and religious liberty, he says, must give way. As Christians, we have long enjoyed the constitutional protections for our right to freely exercise our religions. We've also been able to confess our faith in the public square without fear of much backlash or reprisal. However, it appears that that day is coming when the ease and the peace that we've enjoyed as Christians may no longer be the case. Jesus also warns that these trials may even cause some to abandon the faith. After all, nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Nobody likes to be disliked. I often wonder, what is the best way that I can prepare my kids and even help you prepare your kids for that day? I pray constantly for all of you, for you parents and grandparents, that you would be able to teach your children to confess the faith in boldness, in and out of season. And most especially do I pray for you kids sitting in the pews this morning, that when that time comes, that you may be ready to speak of Jesus, even when people don't want to hear about it. You may not now know someone who hates you because you are a Christian, but there will come a time when you will meet that person. And you will have to make a decision between what God says in His Word and who you will keep as your friends, and maybe even who you will become romantically involved with someday. But Jesus tells us also not to let these cares and concerns of this life weigh down our hearts. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature are always looking for ways to lead us into false belief and other great shame and vice. But in these last days, the devil is also working to drag us into despair. If Satan cannot kill you by his lies and temptations to those things which God has not given you, he will try to kill you with despair. We see Judas as an excellent example of what happens when one falls into the pit of despair. And this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what our God, through the Apostle St. Paul, is seeking to rescue us from through the words of our epistle reading this morning. He starts off like this: "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." In order to rescue us from despair, St. Paul reminds us first and foremost that we have been welcomed into the family of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we are keenly aware that we are strangers and aliens in this life, we, by the blood of Christ, have been brought near, have been united with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." The reason that we Christians are at enmity with the world is because God has united himself to you. In his incarnation, Jesus Christ took on your flesh and blood. He became one with you. And this even is true especially when we come to his altar and he places his flesh and blood into our mouth. You have been united with Jesus Christ and brought into the family of God. Through that union into Christ, we have also become united then to one another. The world tells us that blood is thicker than water, but in the church, it's the other way around. You see, we Christians have a greater bond to one another than we do even to our unbelieving family members. For in the waters of holy baptism, we have been washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lamb of God. Indeed, we are brothers and sisters to one another by the precious blood that was poured forth from his veins. In fact, our love for one another is a manifestation of God's love towards us. And this love that we have for one another is how others outside of the Christian faith know that we ourselves belong to God. St. John writes, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers." We love one another not merely in word, but also in deed and truth. This love marks us as those who have been united to God through Christ. As those who have been united to God and to one another through our baptism into Christ, and by that love that we share with one another, we are thus united in one hope. The hope of our salvation that comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that salvation that he is bringing with us, not only today through his word, but also when he comes again on the last day. This is the one hope that has united all of God's people from both the Old and the New Testament times up till today. For our hope is the same hope as the patriarchs and the prophets of Moses, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is why St. Paul in our epistle reading today quotes four different Old Testament passages to remind us that our hope is the same as those who have gone before us. That these promises made to us in the Old Testament are made directly to you today who are sitting in the house of our Lord. These promises point us to the hope that one day, with all of the saints who have gone before us, we too will rejoice around the throne of our Lord when he comes again with salvation in his hands. And so as the day grows late, and the love of many grows cold around us, let us then look to the promises that God has made to us in the Scriptures. Through these promises, the God of hope will fill you with all peace and joy in believing. So by the power of his Holy Spirit working through that word, you may abound in hope. Our hope is not in the betterment of this life or this world, but our hope is rooted in something permanent, something eternal. As Isaiah says, quoted by the Apostle Paul, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles," that's you and me, "in him will the Gentiles hope." And so do not despair, O you daughter of Zion. Lift up your heads. Your salvation is drawing near, and indeed is nearer now than when we first believed. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.